Good morning. Today's Daf Rosh Hashanah is Yud Beis. We are in Yud Alef Amud Beis, and we are starting halfway down a short Amud. Va'azdu le'ta'amayu is our beginning point. Before we begin today's Daf, we are, first of all, in the middle of a major machlokes between Tanaim, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Eliezer in terms of when the world was created. Was the world created in Nisan? Was it created in Tishrei? The world was created 5,782 years ago. As far as Minyan Ha'olam is concerned, but that year, though, in terms of which month the world was created, some machlokas tanaim, and significance of that, aside from just the historical reality of when it was created, so the significance of that is going to be, when do we start counting tkufos? We know, that as far as the mole of the month is concerned, so we talked yesterday about the constant average in terms of, how long it takes for the, Temunra, go around the earth. 29 days, 12 hours, 793 halakim. Spoke about that a little bit yesterday. Anyway, what comes out now is that the molad in which we know and which we base the Rosh Chodesh on. So that's going to be all a function of when it began and when did it begin. So it's a machlokas atanayim. Okay, within this machlokas atanayim, so the Gemara now is going to connect it with another machlokas. Now, to appreciate this next machlokas, it's the same machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, but to appreciate it, so we have to know two pieces of information. I'm going to give now two quick introductions, and they're both going to be quick. We have to know history and we have to know astrology. Okay, so I know a little bit about both, but that's it. That's all I know. But whatever I know, at least I have clear and organized in my head. So that's what I'm going to share and communicate. And then from that point going forward, the rest is up to you and me to delve further and to know more. Okay, so first a word about astrology. This one I'll do really quickly. We know that the earth makes a revolution around the sun and takes 365 days to do so. That's inaccurate. It's 365 days and 6 hours, and that's also inaccurate, but it doesn't matter. In other words, however long it takes the earth to go around the sun. Now, in doing so, what we do is that we get to see the stars. Now, the truth of the matter is that we see all the stars every single day, because as the earth is revolving around the sun, the earth is also turning on its axis. So for in a 24-hour period, so we get the entire look at the constellations as they are around us, and the full constellation, meaning the Earth is making a full 360 revolution on its axis, so we get to see all the stars every single day. However, relative to the sun, so it's going to change over the course of the year. Okay, consider now that the constellations relative to the sun, so every single day now, so we are moving 1 degree. In that 1 degree movement, so now we're going to be seeing the constellation relative to the sun. Now, of course, the sun is going to block out any stars that are behind it. So how do we know what constellation is? So the answer is we know. Meaning back in the day, so they knew their constellations really well, and they knew, that constellation now is relative to the sun based on the time of year it is. Now, being that it's 360 degrees of arc and it's a degree, it's basically a degree a day. Again, everything is approximate. The numbers over here are not perfect or complete. So, but basically over the course of a month, now we're basically going 30 degrees. And so now with every month, we're going to be seeing the constellations relative to the sun in a new position. Now that 30 degree swath of sky in which the sun is passing through every month. So that now affords us the opportunity to assign that particular piece of sky and stars as a particular constellation. Okay, that's as far as I'm going to take you. Okay, that we're not going further than that. Basically, now every month is assigned a constellation. Okay, and again, it's based on our view of the sun's position relative to that particular constellation. Good. With that stated, so now, on top of that, we know that every month now has its own particular constellation. Now, as far as the constellations are concerned, I don't have much more to add. But every month now is assigned a particular constellation. For example, the month of Nisan. The month of Nisan is Teleh. Okay, it's what you and I call Aries. Okay, the zodiacs that are given. So it's an old tradition, and not just an old tradition, but we held of that tradition as well. Now, what did it mean for us? What did it do for us? What kind of influences did it have? That's already now beyond my pay grade. I'm not in a position to say, but the idea that this is part of our Masorah, as it was other civilizations' Masorah, that's that for sure is a given. So some of the constellations are so obviously connected, meaning you talk about Nisan, talk about the constellation of Tele being, and Tele is a sheep, and you're talking about the carbon Pesach, like that one's a no-brainer. I'll give you one more example. Tishrei, what's the constellation of Tishrei? So in Hebrew, it's called Maznayim. Okay, what is it? What's the scale called? Okay, I don't know. Anyway, it's the one with the scales. So Tishrei, scale, huh? Libra? Okay, good. I don't know. And it really doesn't matter. In other words, then the scales coming out in Tishrei, where Akash Baruch Hu was done, it judges the world. Okay. That one is also obvious, and I'm sure, and the list goes on and on in terms of assigning the significance of that particular constellation for that particular month. I'm already well overboard in terms of how much introduction I want to give. But there is a clear understanding as part of our Masorah that the constellations every month had a particular influence, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram at Bris Ben HaBesharim last week's Parsha, right? Say, meaning, right, there are constellations and there are influences and there are certain dynamics, physics, metaphysics that govern the world. You're beyond that, right? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram. You're beyond that. But the idea is that they definitely have their influences. In fact, our Gemara in just a moment from now is going to tell us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically played around with the constellations in order to produce the flood. Good. Which brings us now to introduction number two. Introduction number two for today is going to be a little bit of history, a brief history lesson. Now, as far as our Masorah has it, we have what's called a Mabul. We read about it 2 weeks ago in Shul. And so the Mabul started in the year, okay, I'm going from Bria Sa'olam, so 1656. So Bria Sa'olam. Something that will be extraordinarily helpful. I have it open in front of me right now. And that is in the back of the Arsul Chumashim, the stone Chumashim. So they have charts. Charts are unbelievable. They're really, really good. And they help visualize and organize the information. And so what do we need to know? So the truth of the matter is what we need to know is that the Torah gives us pretty accurate dating in terms of when the flood began. And that year, in that span of the year from when the flood began until when Noah stepped out of the Teva. 365 days from when the flood began until when he steps out of the Teva. A full solar year. It starts on the 17th day of the month, and it ends 1 year from there, the 27th day of the month. Okay? So the Torah gives a very detailed reporting in terms of when the flood began, when the flood ended. Here's what the Torah does not do. It doesn't tell us which months they are, because as far as the Torah is concerned, the months are concerned. So the Torah doesn't name the months. We just know the months in terms of what number they are. Now, once we left Mitzrayim, so from that point going forward, we were super clear about the months as the Torah describes them, meaning that from Yetzias Mitzrayim, Nisan is number one. Okay, good. And so from that point going forward, there's no ambiguity. We have clarity. I know the Gemara a couple days ago, I'm just saying this parenthetically, I know the Gemara a couple days ago just even entertained for just a little bit that, I don't know, maybe Nisan is not number one. Maybe Iyar is number one. But that aside, we know with clarity exactly which month is which number. But that's after Yetzias Mitzrayim. But before Yetzias Mitzrayim, which month is number one, which month is number two? So really it's all going to be a predicate of when the world was created. So if the world was created in Nisan, so everything starts from Nisan. If the world was created from Tishrei, then everything goes from Tishrei. So in terms of the machlokas of when the world was created, that is going to now run parallel to how you understand the entire episode of the Mabul. Good. So with all that stated, a little astrology and a little history. So now we turn our attention to the Gemara, the Azdu L'Tamayu. So the Gemara says that this machlokes Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yeshua, so it runs consistent. We are right in the middle of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and we start with the Braisa. D'Tanya we learned in the Braisa B'Shnas She'Yishmeo Shana L'Chai Noach. So in the 600th year of Noach's life.
Rabbi, where are you up to? Excuse me, where are you starting from?
The middle of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, right in the middle.
Thank you.
Okay, so the Gemara says in the 600th year of Noach's life, the Gemara is assuming right now that as far as Noach's life is concerned and the dating of the world, they run parallel one with another. I know I saw a bit of a discussion regarding this in terms of, it could possibly be that Noach was not born on Rosh Hashanah or, but doesn't matter. In other words, for our purposes right now, we're just walking into this discussion assuming that whatever it is for Noach's life, that's also running parallel with Bria Sa'olam. So the Torah says, "Sheish Mirshana L'Chai Noach B'Chodesh Hasheni." So in the second month, B'Shiva Asar Yom L'Chodesh, in the 17th day L'Chodesh. So Rabbi Yoshua Amar. So good. So that's the pasuk. So We know the following, and we know that as far as when it began in the 600th year of Noah's life, and we also know that it began on the second month. Okay, that's what we know. On the 17th day of that second month. Okay, second month is from what meaning? What's number one? So Rabbi Yeshua Amar Oso Yom Yizayin B'Iyar Haya. So Rabbi Yeshua says that it's the 17th day of Iyar. Yom Shemazel Kima Shokeh B'Yom. So the 17th day of Iyar. So you know what's descending. You know which constellation is descending. So it's Kima. Now, if you look on your charts, by the way, you're not going to find Kima. Kima is not one of the 12 constellations. So what is Kima? Kima is a minor constellation. Oh, that's helpful. So it's a minor constellation. It basically is some sort of minor constellation that exists between two constellations. Rashi over here, on our Gemara, Rashi over here, you can see is extraordinarily long, but Rashi over here is of the position that this minor constellation of Kima exists between Tleh and Shur. Okay, Tleh and Shur. Which basically means that it's a springtime constellation. Now, when I say springtime constellation, remember, every day we see every constellation. I'm talking about the constellations as they are relative to the sun. Okay, so that means to say that Kima now is basically running alongside the sun in the springtime, which then makes the Gemara's language over here, Shokea, a little bit difficult because it sets during the day. It doesn't set during the day. It rises during the day. Okay, so, right, again, I saw a lot of discussion around this. I'm simplifying the Gemara for today. Okay, so anyway, and oversimplifying it, which is fine. So, Shemazo Kima Shokea Bayoma Mayanos Mit Ma'atin. So generally speaking, what happens in the springtime is that it doesn't rain. Meaning, again, the Gemara's assumption over here is that the constellations bear a lot of influence in terms of the weather patterns. And so as a result of that, so in the springtime, when you have the constellation of Kima running with the sun, so that means to say that the faucet is off. Okay. But I say that b'derech mashal. Omitoch sheshanu ma'aseihem. Now, because the people and their behavior were so deviant, so Shina Akash Baruch Hu Aleim Maisa Bracious. So what Akash Baruch Hu did is he said, look, I know I put in a system in terms of how the world is to be run. So your deviant behavior is going to force me, Akash Baruch Hu, to also deviate. Ve'lamazo Kima B'yom. And so what Akash Baruch Hu did is he basically took Kima and he brought it out. Ve'nato Shnei Kochavim Mikima. Now what he did is he took two stars away from Kima. Now again, all this is metaphysical. It's well beyond my understanding. But I get the basic idea. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to basically rewire the system so that now two stars are taken out from Kima, Vehevi Mabo La'olam. And in the season where just the opposite, meaning this part is easy to understand. So it's spring in Eretz Yisrael, so that's when it stops raining. So over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Mesorah Rebbe Yoshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now starts the Mabul in a time of the year where basically we expected no rain to come down. And he did that by playing with the constellations. That is all according to the Masorah of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, so Yom Yuzayin B'Mar Cheshvan Haya, according to Rabbi Eliezer, so it's the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan. Meaning for Rabbi Eliezer, Bria Solom was in Tishrei, which means that the second month being described by the Mabul and Noach is Mar Cheshvan. Good. And now, in terms of the season, when does the flood start? It starts in a time where basically we start the expectation of rain to come down. But it was not just rain, it was a flood. So Yom Shemazo Kima Ola B'Yom, it's the time when the Mazo of Kima ascends during the day. Umayinos Mizgabrim, and the wellsprings now are growing. When we talk Shashina Maaseim, Shina Karsh Baruch Hu Aleim Maaseh Breishis. And because of the deviant behavior of the people, so HaKarsh Baruch Hu deviated as well. The Gemara, in just a moment, after finishing the Brisa, is going to ask the obvious question, is that over here, rain is expected during Mar Cheshvan. What kind of deviation are we talking about when it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu had to deviate? In Mar Cheshvan, he didn't have to deviate. I mean, he had to obviously, you know, open up the faucets more. But in other words, there was no deviation like he had to do according to Rabbi Yoshua. The Gemara is going to ask that question, so I put it in there just for as a footnote. It's not going to be a footnote. It's going to be in the Gemara. So. And again, by taking out two stars, again, this is all well beyond my understanding in terms of the mechanics, but he takes out two stars from the constellation, from the minor constellation of Kima, and as a result of that now, so the world is flooded. Okay. It comes out over here now, just to organize and simplify what just happened over here, that the machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua in terms of when Bria Sa'olam occurred, whether it occurred in Tishrei according or in Nisan, according to Rabbi Elazar in Tishrei, and according to Rabbi Yeshua in Nisan. So it comes out now that that very machlokus is also going to now affect the machlokus of when the Mabul started. Meaning we know the year, we even know the month, but we don't know the month relative to what? To which beginning? According to Rabbi Eliezer, the beginning is going to be Tishrei. So the second month in which the Mabul started is going to be the 17th day of Cheshvan. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, where the world was created in Nisan, so for him, the Mabul begins in the second month relative to Nisan, meaning the 17th day of Iyar. Okay? If you look at the chart over here on page 1320 of the Stone Chumashim, so you're going to see it beautifully mapped out. He does such a good job, in which he goes basically through the year of the flood from day 1 to day 365. And you can now basically chart out each event as recorded in the Torah relative to each position. That of Rabbi Eliezer and that of Rabbi Yehoshua. So if you want more details, so see the chart for a really clear presentation of how each position would work out. Good. We continue in the Gemara 1. Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We are five lines from the top. We just finished the Braisa. And now the Gemara's discussion, meaning some just basic follow-up questions that the Gemara would like clarification on. Bishlam al Rabbi Yehoshua. Hainu dichsiv sheni. So for Rabbi Yehoshua now, it actually works out because how we call the months. Now when I say we, I mean the Torah. When the Torah describes a month, so it says sheni, the second month for the Mabul. So that's what we normally describe as the second month. Meaning we, the Jewish people, call Nisan month number one. And again, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, it was unequivocal. There's no ambiguity. So when the Torah describes the Mabul and it says the second month, and according to Rabbi Yehoshua, the second month is Iyar, that's great. So Ella the Rebbe Elazar my sheni, but according to Rebbe Elazar, why sheni? Now it's so funny. I could have given the simplest answer. In fact, I propose it, but I also know that Rashi patently rejects it. So right. So I'm only suggesting that according to Rebbe Eliezer, you call it the second month because prior to Yitzias Mitzrayim, it could very well be that they number their months 6 months off. Meaning for Rebbe Eliezer, since the world was created in Tishrei, so every month now is counted relative to Tishrei. But Rashi says that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, we're always going to be describing the numbered months relative to Yetzias Mitzrayim, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning from Rabbi Eliezer's standpoint, right, as far as describing and labeling each month, so Tishrei is the seventh month. So if that's true, so now just going back to the Gemara's question, so why then, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is the Torah describing Mar Cheshvan as month number two? It's not month number two, it's month number eight. So the Gemara says, Sheni Ladin. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Torah, when describing the months, are not describing them in their relative, relative labeling. Sorry, in their usual labeling. But rather, what the Torah is describing is, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously gave harsh judgment to the world. And so when the Torah says month number two, it means month number two relative to the time that he judged. Okay. Now, Bishlam al Rabbi Yehoshua Hainu Deshina. Now, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, so deviation. So we learned in the Braisa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, had to do major mechanical work to the metaphysical world in order for the flood to come down. Flood came down in the springtime. That's normally when the spring, when the water stops. That's when normally the faucets are turned off. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he manipulated the constellations so now that the faucets would be turned on. Good. That works out really well. But Ella Rabbi Elazar Maishina, but Rabbi Elazar says that there was also a realignment of the stars. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took two stars away from the minor constellation of Kima, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, there was no need for that. The flood started in Mar Cheshvan. That's when it starts raining. Okay, and granted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do more, so to say, but when all said and done, what's this big realignment that we're talking about? So the Gemara says, Kid Rav Chista, Dam Rav Chista, Beroskin, Kilkel of Beroskin, Idonin. So the Gemara says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a shinui. He did deviate. Because, of course, what normally comes down is water, which is, right, I was going to say room temperature, right? The normal temperature of whatever the rain is. So but meanwhile, when it comes to the Mabul, so what came down was not warm water, but rather hot water. So, and the reason why, Mida Keneged Mida, but Rosh and Keokalu, they deviated, the people deviated with Roskin, literally boiling water. We're going to clarify that point in just a moment. So, Veroskin Nidonus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged them with boiling hot water as well. The Gemara immediately clarifies. What does that mean? So, Veroskin Kilkulu Ba'Avera. So, the people, as far as their deviation is concerned, so that was Avera. Avera means illicit relations that they had with one another. And the Roskin over here probably is a reference to the Zera. and they were mashke zera in their sexual deviation. So Kadosh Baruch Hu now gave them uveros kunidon uksiv hacha v'yashok amayim uksiv hasam v'chamas amalach shachacha. What allusion is there in the psukim that indicate that the water was hot and then it cooled down? So the pasuk v'yashoku hamayim, right? Which I'm sure I didn't look it up, but if you look at a translation, probably says something along the lines of the water receding. But meanwhile, the word shachacha means it cooled down. How do I know that? Let me go with Esther. After Haman was hung or hanged, I never remembered which one's right. So so after the hanging of Haman, let's do it that way. So then the king cooled down. V'chamas amel shachacha. Good. So now using the connection, the water cooled down as well. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. And one end note on this entire discussion. So chachmi so amonim lamabul karebi Eliezer l'tkufa karebi Yoshua. As far as Chachmei Yisrael is concerned, so when counting the Mabul, so they go like Rebbe Lazar, meaning that our Mesorah, right, the Chachmei Yisrael's Mesorah, now when I say our Mesorah, by the way, I'm well aware of the fact that we just spent the first 20 minutes of today's daf going over, it's a Machlokas Tanai. So it's inaccurate to say our Mesorah. But a group called Chachmei Yisrael, so when they counted the Mabul, they counted it from like Rebbe Lazar. And Ulotzkufa k'Rebbe Yeshua, but as far as Tkufa is concerned, they follow Rebbe Yeshua, meaning the world was created in Nisan. So again, a point I made before, I get to reiterate, on Chaf Zayin, we're going to say it again, right, just 2 weeks from now. So we're going to say it again, and that is that it seems pretty clear from the Gemara that the Gemara favors Rebbe Yeshua's position that the world was created in Nisan. Right, you go to Shul on Rosh Hashanah, you daven, and you read the nusach of the tefillah, and let's go even as far as to say you understand what you're saying. So it heavily influences us to believe that the world was created in Tishrei, and that's a shita, it's a mandama that says it was created in Tishrei. However, it seems pretty clear from the Gemara that the Gemara does in fact favor Rabbi Yeshua that the world was created in Nisan. And I know it takes a retraining of our brains in order to get there. But that's the Gemara's position. Now Chachmei Umas HaOlam. Now the contrast over here is Umas HaOlam, meaning that in the secular world, so they monim afla mabul k'Rebbe Yoshua. So as far as the way they date the world, so the world was created in Nisan, and in that regard, so there's agreement between Chachmei Yisrael and Chachmei Umas HaOlam. As far as the dating of the mabul is concerned, so they date it from Nisan, not Tishrei, meaning they're consistently go through with Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, I wish I could be helpful over here in terms of explaining what the Machlokas is predicated on and how it is that the Chachmei Umas HaOlam believes that everything was Nisan. And the Gemara, I'm going to just be honest, the Gemara over here is baffling because the opening statement of today's daf was Azdula Tamayu, meaning that the Gemara assumes that there's a consistency. Whatever position you're going to be taking in terms of Bria Sa'olam, that's going to be the same pattern as the Mabul in terms of the months. And so if you're a Rebbe Eliezer, you're going to take that position consistently. And if you're a Rebbe Yoshua, you're going to take that position consistently. And somehow the Gemara ended up by saying, you know what the Chachmei Yisrael do? So split decision. When it comes to Bria Sa'olam, Rebbe Yoshua. When it comes to the Mabul, Rebbe Eliezer. How? Meaning that is a 180 from where the Gemara started in the assumption. And then the Chachmei Umas HaOlam, so they maintain the assumption of the Gemara, which is that if the world was created in Nisan, like Rabbi Yeshua, so then the Mabul is all relative to Nisan as well, like Rabbi Yeshua. Okay. Whatever. Obviously, it's somewhat baffling. But meanwhile, that's it. Ad Kan takes us through the first part of today's daf, a continued discussion, and a conclusion regarding when the world was created, whether Nisan or Tishrei, and how that then is going to have us read the Psukim by the Mabul regarding Nisan and Tishrei. We continue. When Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Uli Rakos. Okay. And now we're back to the Mishnah. Okay, so again, remember there are four Rosh Hashanahs over the course of the year. Nisan was Malachim Regalim. We spent a little bit more than a week discussing that, taking us from the beginning of the Masech to Dav Ches. Then we talked quickly, the Gemara really spent very little time, on the second Rosh Hashanah of the Mishnah, which is Maaser Behema, the Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Behema, it's a Machlokas. Some have it, Reb Meir has it at the first day of Elul, Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon have it on the first day of Tishrei, good, that was Rosh Hashanah number 2. And then we get to Rosh Hashanah number three, is what we call Rosh Hashanah, and that's the first day of Tishrei. Now, the first day of Tishrei, so a lot of action going on the first day of Tishrei. It's Rosh Hashanah for Shanim, for Shemitim, for Yovlos, for Netiyah. So we now, in the Gemara, in the last number of days, just spent time discussing those 4 points of Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei, and now we're up to Yerakos. So the first day of Tishrei is going to be marking the beginning of our vegetables. Okay? And so now, vegetables, so Tana. So the Gemara first starts off the discussion, opens the discussion by quoting a Braisa. The Braisa over here is a little bit different than our Mishnah. The Braisa reads, Li Yerakos, vegetables, Maisros, and Nedarim. Okay. So instead of our Mishnah just saying Yerakos, the Braisa over here adds both Maisros and Nedarim as well. So the Gemara would like a couple points to be clarified. Number one, Li Yerakos, my Ninu. So Maiser Yerak. So the Gemara says, now when we say vegetables, so what does it mean that once the first day of Tishrei rolls around, so now it's a new year for vegetables. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the halacha of Maiser, specifically Maiser Yerek. The requirement to take off Trumas and Maisers from vegetables, that's a din d'rabbanan. The Torah only tells us to take off Trumas and Maisers from fruits. And truth be told, is that the psukim themselves don't say the word fruits. It says grains, olives, and grapes. That's the Torah. All other fruits as well. We've gone over this point numerous times. In fact, Tosus, today's daf, spends a lot of time discussing this, and that is that according to Rashi and Tosus throughout Shas, and in today's daf, no exception, the fourth Tosus, the big one on this Amud, spends a lot of time discussing that as far as Shar Peres is concerned, as far as the other fruits, anything other than grapes and olives, so that is Chayv Midrabanan, not Minat Torah. And that's in distinction, contradistinction to the Rambam. The Rambam says that all peres are chayv and trumas are maisos midah araisa. Our Gemara over here, so it nods towards the position of the Rambam, not the position of the Balei HaTosos, which is why Tosos over here in today's daf spent some time trying to figure out how to read our Gemara. But okay, not for now. Anyway, so when we say Yerek over here, we mean the requirements of taking off trumas and maisos off vegetables. So hayna maisos. So the Gemara says, okay, but look at the braisa that we just read. It said Yerakos, Ulamasros. Well, that's now redundant. So the Gemara says, Tana derabanan v'katana daraisa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Yerakos, that's a din derabanan. Maisros, that's talking about the din daraisa of taking off chumas and maisros from grains, and let's say it like Rashi and Tosos, and like olives and grapes. And so basically, even though the braisa puts it as two categories, the categorical distinction is that Yerakos means the chumas and maisros derabanan, and then Maisros of the Braisa, that means Trumas and Maisros Daraisa. So the Gemara says, well, listen to Daraisa Bereisha. The Gemara says, okay, I'm with you. But in terms of ordering, shouldn't we put the Daraisa first? So the Gemara says, no. I did the Chaviva Le Akdama, a line that we're going to hear numerous times throughout Shas, and that is that the Chachamim had a certain connection with Dinei Derabanan. And so when teaching Torah Shabbat Peh, so they'll put the Dinei Derabanan first, right? The idea that the Torah is a joint effort between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us, and that we make contributions to the Torah through Gzeros and Takanos, so Chavivin, it really makes us connected to the Torah. And when ordering, so we're going to put the Derabbanan before the Daraisas in terms of ordering. Vitana Didan. Now, Gemara's next question. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah just says the word Yerakos. Our Mishnah doesn't say Maitzros. Our Mishnah is only focusing on the Yerakos, so Tana Derabanan v'chol shekein daraisa. Yeah, so the thought process of our Mishnah is that once we say that Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Yerakos, meaning Trumos or Maisos Midrabanan, so it goes without saying then that, yes, of course, whenever the Chachamim made a Takana, Ke'in Da'araisa Tiknu, so it's understood, it's self-evident that also the Daraisas are going to be Rosh Hashanah the first day of Tishrei. V'lisne Maiser, the Gemara says, okay, but still, I got more follow-up questions. Why does it say Masros? Why does it say in the plural? Why not just simply say Maiser? So the Gemara says, Echad Maiser Behemah, Echad Maiser Dagan. But the Gemara says, because the Braisa is of the position that what is the first day of Tishrei significant for? Not just Maiser of the agriculture, of the vegetables, but also of animals as well. Meaning Maiser Behemah. Now, it happens to be that in our Mishnah, it's a machlokus. So over here, in order to explain the Braisa this way, so necessarily the Braisa has to be following the Shita of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Good. V'lisnei Yerek. One more follow-up question. Why not say the word Yerek? Why Yerakos in the plural? So the Gemara says, Tre Gavne Yerek. So the Gemara says, because not all vegetables are created equal. Halachically, categorically, there are vegetables and then there are vegetables. Did none? We learned in the Mishnah, Yerek HaNegar, Mishi Yegar, Vishenu Negar, Mishi Yamalei Zekli. At what point does the Gemara happen regarding vegetables? At which point in time you can't eat the vegetables, you can't even snack on the vegetables until you take off Trumas and Maisos? Well, it depends. If the vegetables are normally bundled, so the bundling is the Gemara. And if the vegetables are not bundled, then when they're put in the Kli, that's the Gemara. Okay, fine. So that's why it says Yerakos. Taner Rabbanan. Okay. The Gemara now opens up with a Braisa. Likate Yerek Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay, as will become evident in this Braisa, a point that we go over numerous times throughout Shas, and it's great, great Chazar, we get to review, and that is the Trumas and Maaser schedule. Okay, every year, so once you collect your grains and your olives and your grapes, and for that matter, all other fruits, and for that matter, all vegetables, so you have to take off Trumas and Maaser. Now the schedule is very simple. The more we go over it, the more it's just going to simply be it'll be secondhand nature. So the firsthand nature. And that is that in the year number one of the Shemitah cycle, so you take off Truma Gedola, followed then by Maaser Rishon, followed then by Maaser Sheni. Okay, I'm not going to go through right now what happens to each one. Okay, and that's true in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle. In year 3, 6 of the Shemitah cycle, same. And by the way, my listing over here is incomplete. I'm aware of that. But in the years 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, it's the same, but it's not going to be Maaser Sheni, but rather it's going to be Maaser Ani. Good. And then, of course, in the Shemitah year itself, so there's no Trumas or Maasers, period. Good. With that stated, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, we're on the very bottom of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Likei Yerek Erev Rosh Hashanah. So when you pluck out the vegetable on Erev Rosh Hashanah, just simply meaning that any time before the first day of Tishrei has begun, so Ad Shelo Tavo HaShemesh, as long as it's before sunset, V'chazer V'likei Mishetavo HaShemesh, and then what you do is you pick out another vegetable immediately after sunset. Now, immediately after sunset happens to also be Rosh Hashanah. Nobody's picking a vegetable off the ground because that is an Issa Daraisa. It is it's a violation of Yontif. So Tosfos on the very top of the Amud Beis says that let's say that a guy does it. We're just simply making the point that when you are malake, when you pick it out of the ground, so that is now going to give its assignment to which year it belongs to. So ain't tormen amasim izel zelafish ain't tormen amasim lo mina chadash al yashan v'lo mina yashan al chadash. And so now everything is going to be following Lakita in terms of its assigned year, and so therefore I could be picking vegetables minutes apart from one another. But if it's one was picked before the sun setting on Rosh Hashanah, and the other one was picked after the sun setting of Rosh Hashanah, so they now belong to two separate years. And when you take off Trumas and Maaser, so you have to compartmentalize the Trumas and Maaser to that particular year in which it's assigned to. Im Haisa Shnia Anichnasas Lishlishis Shnia Maaser Rishon Maaser Sheni Shlishis Maaser Rishon Maaser Ani. Now let's say that this Rosh Hashanah represents the transition from year number 2 to year number 3. So now that means not only are the vegetables that I pick before and after sunset going to be of different years, but they're also going to go to different destinations. The vegetables picked in year number 2, so that second Maaser is Maaser Sheni. The vegetables picked in year number 3, that second Maaser is going to be Maaser Ani, not Maaser Sheni. Good. Okay. The most basic of information that we go over on a regular basis throughout Shas, but in today's daf, it happens to be that we're going to be citing the sources of these halachas. Menani Mili. So the Gemara says, so how do I know? How do I know that the schedule of years 1, 2, 4, 5 versus years 3 and 6? In the Torah itself, it's not abundantly clear that you have this kind of schedule. And so the Gemara now wants to know, so how do we get from what we know to be correct? And how is that all coming from the Torah? So, Menani Mili, that's the Gemara's question. I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Kisachala, La'aser is called Ma'aser, Tvu'ascha, B'shana, Shlishish, Nasa, Ma'aser. So, the Torah describes that when you come to the conclusion of taking off Maaser in the third year. So what does that mean? It means that the Torah clearly is pointing out that year number 3 is somewhat different than years 1 and 2. So Shana Shein Bo Ela Maaser Echad. So we're darshaning the Pasuk, and that is that in year number 3, there's only one Maaser. Now when we say one Maaser, what does that mean? It's not one Maaser, it's Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. It just simply means that there's no Maaser Sheni. Meaning in a normal year, it's not normal, meaning it's only 2 years versus 1 year. But in year one and two. So you're taking off Maaser Rishon and then the secondary Maaser. Again, Maaser Rishon goes to the Levium, but even as I say that, that's also an incomplete statement. But okay, the Maaser Rishon goes to the Levium and Maaser Sheni, and Maaser Sheni you retain, you bring it to Yerushalayim, you eat in Yerushalayim, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is that in years one and two, there is a Maaser Rishon and there is a Maaser Sheni. There's a second Maaser. Masha Enkin, when you get to the third year, there is no Maaser Sheni. There's no secondary Maaser. Now, there is another Maaser to take off, and the recipient of that is going to be Maaser Ani. Just simply means there's no Maaser Sheni. So, Ha Ketzan, so Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani, or Maaser Sheni Yivatel. So, that means to say that when you get to year number three, so it'll be Maaser Rishon, it then won't be a secondary Maaser, what's called Maaser Sheni, but it'll be Maaser Ani. And as far as Maaser Sheni is concerned, you don't take a Maaser Sheni. Good. That's how we're darshing the Pasuk. The Gemara says, really, if it's all just a function of the Pasuk, you could read the Pasuk differently. Oh, wait, no, Alof, Maaser Rishon, Nami Yivatel. Well, look, if the idea is that maybe there's no Maaser, maybe it means there's no Maaser period. Meaning maybe in year number three and in year number six, the Gemara is assuming, by the way, that whatever is the schedule for years one, two, and three are also going to be the schedule for four, five, and six. Maybe the Gemara suggests maybe in year number three, there's no Maaser whatsoever. So now the Gemara says, no, that is an untenable position. Talmud Lomar, to which the Gemara says it can't be. Because the Pasuk says, Ve'ala Levim to Daber. V'yamarta alem kisit chumeis b'nei Yisrael samaser asher nasati lachem mi'itam b'nachal aschem. So here the Pasuk in Korach. And in the Pasuk we have the halach of Maaser and juxtaposed right to the word Nachala. So he kishu akasal l'nachala. So a hekesh. Ma'la nachalein lahefsek av Maaser Rishon ein lahefsek. So by Nachala, there's always Nachala every year. So to by Maaser Rishon, there's going to be a Maaser Rishon every year. Now, even though the Gemara just said emphatically every year, so it's funny, right? Immediately after learning the Hekesh, so let's clarify. It doesn't really mean every year, because of course there's Shemitah. In the Shemitah year, there is no Maaser, and there's still Nachala. In other words, there's still, everyone has a Yerusha during the Shemitah year. You can't work the land, but you have your Yerusha. So acknowledging the fact that it doesn't literally mean every year, but still, the point is that Maaser Rishon is going to be around every single year. Every year that there is some sort of Trumas Maaser to take off, there will be Maaser Rishon. So to suggest that, even though the Pasuk in Parshas Kisavo seems to indicate that there is a reduction of Maaser in year number three, but we can't tinker with Maaser Rishon. Maaser Rishon is the constant, and so the only thing that is pliable is only going to be Maaser Sheni. Fine. That's what the Pasuk in Kisavo is coming to do, removing Maaser Sheni in year number three. Either Tanya Idach or Tanya Namehachi, Kisech La'aser, a second Brisa over here, and this Brisa is going to arrive at the same conclusion, but present two opinions in terms of how to get to that conclusion. It also happens to be that the second opinion is going to be exactly how we just presented it. But anyway, Shana She'en Bo Ela Maaser Echad. So once again, the Pasuk in Parshas Kisavo telling us that the third year is unusual. And what's unusual about it? There's only Maaser Rishon, no Maaser Sheni. So HaKetza, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani, Maaser Sheni Yivatel, Yachalav Maaser Rishon, Nami Yivatel. So here in this Brisa, again, we're going to arrive at the same point. Just a question of how to get there. How do I know that Maaser Rishon is not lost in that third year? So Tamalam Rav Alevi calls Man Shabbat Tainlo, Div Rabbi Yehuda. So according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, I turn our attention to Parshas Re'eh, where it says that the Levi comes. Now, anytime the Levi comes, you're going to be giving him Maaser Rishon. And that would be even in year three and six. Okay. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Amar, Eino Tzarech, he says it's unnecessary. Meaning, I agree with you in terms of your conclusion, but how you got to your conclusion, I disagree. So, Harehu Amar, Ve'el Halavim Tadaber, Ve'amar Talem, Kitzli Chumes Menei Yisrael, Es Amaser, Shenasat Lechem, Eitam Banach Laschem, He Kishu Akosav Lanachla, Ma Nachla Ein La Hefsek, Av Maaser Rishon Ein La Hefsek. Okay, so, and according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, he darshins it the way we darshined in the previous brisa. Good. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of that section of the Gemara, and just as a quick mid-darf review, so the Gemara says that what happens on the first day of Tishrei, so now we are in a new cycle, a new year, legabe the cycle of Trumas Maaseros. So that means to say that whenever I pick out a vegetable out of the ground, so if it was done before the first day of Tishrei, so it belongs to the previous year. If it's after the first day of Tishrei, sunset of Echa B'Tishrei, and I pick out a vegetable after sunset, and again, right, it's not if you can't do that, but in terms of assigning its year, so it's going to be now for the upcoming year. Good. And so when you're taking off Trumas HaMaisos, so in general, even before we get to the distinction between years 2 and 3, so when you're mafish Trumas HaMaisos, it has to be specific to that particular year, right? Just like we spent an entire Masechta Shkalim, almost an entire Masechta, talking about how the operating budget of the Beis HaMikdash has to be specific for that year. So Trumas HaMaisos, it's the same thing, any produce income that comes in during that year, Trumas HaMaisos has to be for that year. On top of that, we also just spent a good amount of time going over that the schedule of Trumas HaMaisos is going to be different from year 2 to year 3 and from year 5 to year 6. In that, in years 1 and 2, it's going to be Truma Gedola, then followed by Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. And in year number 3, it's going to be Truma Gedola, followed then by Maaser Rishon, and not Maaser Sheni, but rather Maaser Ani. How do we know that? So the Gemara had a couple of drushes in terms of how we arrive at that conclusion. Ula Nedarim, just a little bit more to finish up today's daf. And now we're talking about Nedarim. So what did we say regarding the first day of Tishrei? So it now creates a new year for thee. And we have a long list in our Mishnah. And we quoted the Braisa today on the Amud Aleph that gave us an addendum of Yerakos, Maisos, and also Neder as well. How is the first day of Tishrei going to affect Nedarim? How does that work? That's our Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Hamud Arnam Echaver, I've had it with my friend. I made a Neder. I'm not getting any benefit from him whatsoever. Lishana. And I need a year time off from him. Right? A year from now, come back to me. Maybe we can have some sort of relationship. But right now, a year in which we're not going to be in contact or communication, but more halakhically accurate, I'm not getting hana from him. I'm prohibiting any benefit that I get from him for a full year. No, what? It's a neder. That's a neder. It's a classic neder. So, Mona, Shnema Sarchodesh Miyam Liyam. Okay, so the language is Lashana. So, Lashana means a year. And a year is, 12 months. Right? From date to date. So, we'll go from whatever today's date is on the Hebrew calendar. And my neder was for a year. Good. So, come back to me a year from now. The Imam or Lashana Zu. Now, if I do say the words Lashana Zu as part of my neder, so what does that mean for the end of this year? So this year, now we know, right? Rule number one when it comes to Nedarim. And again, you know how many times I say rule number one. I got a lot of rule number ones. But in other words, but it's up there in terms of basic halachas regarding Nedarim, and that is Hochanach Halasha Menei Adam, right? So when you make a Neder, making a personal prohibition for yourself, so in doing so, how do we follow what your Neder means? It's based on how people speak and how people communicate. And the basic understanding of what people mean. So when you say Lashana Zu for this year, so what does that mean? So afilu amar ela besr v'tisha be'elo kevishigia yamecha b'tishrei also Lashana. So it means that you're on the 29th day of Elo, the last day of the year, and I say this year, I mean for the end of this year. But it's only going to be one more day for this year, that's what I meant. Because that's how people talk. So afilu mandam yamecha b'shana enuch hashoshana. So, and the Gemara says, then look, I know we had a discussion earlier in this Masechta. What qualifies as a year? Is a day considered a year? Is a month considered a year? Meaning, how much of the year do you have to go through in order to qualify as a year? So the Gemara says, I know we had that debate, but it's not going to affect our discussion over here. Why? Because, Letzuri Nashe Kabel Alei V'ha Itzar Erlei. So the Gemara says, because, look, all he wanted to do was a little affliction. Meaning that he wanted basically a little time away from his friend. And he got it. It was only a day. Okay, that's what he meant. Ve'ema Nisan. So the Gemara says, okay. But when he says this year, can't this year mean until the end of the months as we number them? Meaning the Elul is the 6th month of the year. Maybe he meant all the way to the 12th month of the year. Right? Up until Adar. The Gemara says no. Because the Gemara says, B'nedarim halach achar lashem b'nei Adam. Because this is a neder. We know that when it comes to Nedarim, so how do we attach meaning to what a person says? It's based on the normal understanding of how what words signify and indicate. Okay, it's Lashon B'nei Adam. So that's why, right, when we say, when we talk about years in terms of normal parlance between people, it means, all right, when we get to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, good. We're going to stop over here tomorrow. We'll pick it up with a Mishnah Maestros. And, I was going to say a new discussion. It's not going to be a new discussion, but it's a good stopping point. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf. The first half of today's daf. So we just simply strung along the and we made a parallel machlokas of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, just like they debated when the world was created in yesterday's daf, whether it was created in Tishrei, whether it was created in Nisan. So we also find that they're going to be arguing in terms of how to date the Mabul. The Torah says that the Mabul lasted a full year, 365 days, and it started in the second month. What does that mean, the second month? According to Rabbi Yeshua, it means Iyar. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it means Marcheshvan. Okay? And so, and that machlokus over there is now going to be running parallel with the machlokus of when the world was created. Good? That's the first part of today's daf. And just in terms of what we got from there, aside from, again, running through this machlokus, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, we also got just a small little window, tiny window, into the world of constellation and mazalos. And the Gemara says that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do is that the constellations have influence on the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically opened up the hood and rewired a little bit and tinkered with the metaphysics of the world in order to create the Mabul. And it works out a little bit better, says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yeshua, because you needed serious tinkering, because according to Rabbi Yeshua, flood started in the spring. Spring is when the rain stops, and now not only did it not stop, but it flooded the world. Oh, so there you needed real rewiring. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't need as much, but the Gemara says, but still, there was a significant deviation. Why? Because normally rain comes down at a regular temperature, what we call regular. And meanwhile, what happened for the Mabul is boiling water came down. And so for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to rewire. And the Gemara says, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, why? Mida keneged mida. So the people were makakal b'maaseim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu also deviated as well. Okay, and then, that was the first part of today's daf, and then the remaining section of today's daf. So we talked about other significances of the first day of Tishrei. We spoke about it in terms of Yerakos, meaning that there's a mitzvah derabanan to be mafresh shumos amaisos from Yerakos. And so we discussed that in the next section of today's daf. We noted that when it comes to Yerakos, likita, when I pluck them off the ground, that will assign it towards its year. In terms of when the chiv of truma actually begins, so that's the gemar. That's when we get to the end of production. What is the end of production? Depends. Some vegetables end production by bundling. Some vegetables end production by being put into a kli. Okay, yesh v'yesh. Which is why the Brisa said yerakos, not yerek. Okay? That takes us to the Amud Beis. And finally, going over the schedule of trumas amaisos for every year. So rule number one, you got to be mafresh trumas amaisos on the produce that grows in this year against produce that grows this year and not on another year. That was point number one. And point number two of the Amud Beis is that year two is not going to be the same schedule as year number three. Year two, it's going to be truma gadola, maaser rishon, maaser sheni, and that's true in year one and two of the Shemitah cycle. In year number three, it's going to be truma gadola, maaser rishon, and maaser ani. That's different. How do I know that? How do I know the schedule changes? Oh, so in the Amud Beis, the Gemara gave us a couple of drashas in terms of how we got to that conclusion. And finally, the first day of Tishrei also is going to be marking the end of the year regarding a neder. If I make a neder against another person, I'm not benefiting from that person for a full year, and I say shana, so that means a full year. But if I say shanazu, I say this year, so this year is going to be ending in the first day of Tishrei. And even if I made the neder one day earlier, on the last day of Elul, doesn't matter, this year means one more day. And then my neder is lifted. Why is that? That's predicated on the basic rule regarding the darim of by neder and hochen acher lashem b'nei adam.